500 Go Bible. You will only pay for your textbooks. Your tuition is free. Do you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies, again, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about an issue that I believe is timely, and I believe it's time that Christians come out of the closet, stop being afraid, get up from out of the bed, and take a stand as a Christian and as a Christian that loves our country. I believe it's time that we're willing to speak up, stand up, and say, yes, I'm a Christian nationalist. I praise God for salvation. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, but I stand also for our nation and our flag and stand to defend what we have as Americans. I believe we have Davis on the line. Go with your comment or question, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I believe yesterday you did touch on this right at the close of the broadcast yesterday, but maybe we need to emphasize this a little bit more so that others understand. Whenever a church has a piece of property, I don't care if it's 1,000 acres or if it's just 1 city block, and they meet there, that is a place where the church meets.
Yes.
And that is not a public building. There is not one taxpayer dollar went into that piece of property to structure that piece of property so the church would have a place to go. And so whenever Don did what he did in going in there, that was the ultimate of no lawlessness in the United States. He was a perfect example of that. He was taking things in his own hands, and he disrupted the house of God because those people was meeting there. They need to be something done to that man, and I am a nationalist Christian. Paul set that example. He says, I'm not afraid or offended by the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, and I'm not afraid to express that to anybody.
Amen. Brother, you're exactly right. Let me hold you for a moment and ask you a couple of things that I believe you would have pertinent response on. I'm looking at a headline that says, Anti-ICE Agitators Storm Christian Worship Service. Don Lemon claims that he has a First Amendment right to do so. He goes on and says, they're going from hotel to hotel, church to church, hunting for federal law enforcement who are risking their lives to protect America. Lemon live-streamed the intrusion of City's church and shouts, ice out, hands up, don't shoot, justice for Renee Good. And he goes on to talk about the vulgarities and so forth that they were screaming. So you touched on it, but let's refine that just a little for our listeners. That church property is church property. And anybody that puts the shoe leather on that property, if they're there for a nefarious purpose or for trying to break up the services or for in some way to intimidate and terrorize the people, that is absolutely illegal, unconstitutional, and as you said, should be prosecuted to the full extent. Our listeners may not know, Brother Davis, that there's a 72-year-old woman right now in jail. President Trump has issued an order for her release. but she's in a Colorado jail. She's 72 years old, a grandmother that has major health problems that the state of Colorado has refused to release her. What was her crime? She was standing in front of an abortion clinic with her head bowed, not saying anything to anybody, but praying. And as a result of praying, standing out on public property, praying, she was arrested, tried, convicted, and sentenced to 10 years in prison. Now, that's a good example of the civil government based on Romans 13, that God gave us civil government to prosecute evil and protect good, but we reversed it. Go ahead.
You've lost me there. Something happened there. I think the devil's interfering with our conversation.
I know that. But the point is, there's a 72-year-old woman that's in prison, in jail in Colorado, because she stood in front of an abortion clinic, not on the property, but on the sidewalk, public property, and yet she was caught, tried, convicted, prosecuted, put in prison for 10 years for doing so. President Trump has issued, by executive order, her release. Colorado says this is a state charge, and you, as a president, you have no authority to release her from prison. They've challenged the ruling and the Supreme Court ruling, and for Donald Trump's ruling by executive order, she's still in prison. Now, that being the case, I'm setting that on one side. What ought be done for Don Lemon? He's intruded, not just on the sidewalk, he's intruded into a worship service. And they use the FACE Act to prosecute the 72-year-old grandmother, and it seems that somehow, some way, in the state of California, in Los Angeles County, Karen Bass, by the way, was there egging him on and praising him during the course of his initial arraignment before the judge, where the judge released him, no bond, no restriction on his travel. So the question that I'm asking, how should Christians view that? Should we cower and saying that I'm afraid that Don Lemon and others like that's coming after me, so I'm not going to confess that I'm a Christian, I'm not going to stand and say that I'm a patriot, etc., etc.? Give your thoughts on that.
Stand up, speak up, and don't shut up. Just keep right on doing it. And I tell you, what he did would be about the same thing with him coming into your house or my house and disrupting me and my house and doing all that kind of stuff. I tell you, he'd be in serious trouble.
Well, brother, you touch on that in the state of Florida, and I have the documents on that. In the state of Florida, there's a Florida statute 871.01 that talks about that. Anyone who willfully and maliciously interrupts or disturbs any assembly of people meeting for worship, that's church service, it's a misdemeanor, first degree, that's Florida law. In fact, the fullness of the Florida law talks about the fact that the castle doctrine is applicable in your church just as it is in your home and in your car. And what does that mean? We can stand the ground to defend if we feel that our lives are in jeopardy. We can defend our lives. And I believe that needs to be recognized by Christians and not cower, not be afraid, not be fearful to stand for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not being afraid to stand for the truth of what our flag stands for in the United States of America. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm thankful for your stand, and I pray that our listeners will understand when we ask the question, what is a Christian nationalist? I pray that our listeners would say, I am a Christian nationalist. Brother Davis, thank you so much.
Amen and amen.
God bless you. Have a good day. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe Terry's on the line. Terry, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, good morning. And I'm not so sure what a nationalist is because I try looking it up and it won't give me Westers. But I'm a patriotist. I'm proud of my country, and I love it, and I stand up for it. I'm just thinking, too, is for that Don Lemon, when he came in and terrorized everybody, it was no different with him showing his badge as a construction worker would barge in saying he needs to tear apart part of the church wall during the time of worship. And my thought is this: I pray to God that I have the backbone, and it takes one time to give you a confidence that if someone were to do something like that, that you stand up and speak up, like you said. And yes, you can be here if you want to worship, which is what we're doing. But for anything else, no, you take it out the door.
Well, Terry, one of the things that you're saying and our listeners need to grasp and understand, the church doors are open for anyone who wants to come into worship. But it is
worship,
not a,
yes.
But it is not a public property. It is not public property where anyone can go on. You can't go on a church campus and go out there and start playing softball. You can't go on a church campus and have some kind of animal show, et cetera, et cetera. It is private property, but open for worship for those who want to come in and worship. But Don Lemon is so mistaken. He says that his First Amendment right gives him the right to go into that church anytime, individually, collectively, and say or do whatever he wants to say or do. That's the thing. That's the thing, Terry, that I'm trying to get our listeners to understand. It is private property, church property, there to honor God and to allow the believers to come in and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is not open for thugs and terrorists to come in and terrorize the people, terrorize the worship service.
And that is very true, Dr. Anselm, because I agree with you. And a person needs to realize that, and I'm just saying the same thing you said in my way, is that if he wants to come, he has a, for the amendment or whatever to say he can come in there anytime he wants to. Yes, to worship, nothing else. Same thing as if you were to come to my house, you're not going to be bombarding me like playing baseball, like you said, in my house. You come to visit me. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be here to visit, get out. If they're not going to be in the church to worship, get out. And then someone needs to be bold enough and have some courage, a good way, and to stand up. I feel sorry for those people that were cowering. They didn't know their rights for their church, what their amendment was. Had they known that it's a private property, someone would have stood up and said, you need to get out.
Well, I'm amazed, Terry. You touch on something I've been amazed over. The pastor seemed to not be upset about. He was upset, but he seemed not to be bothered. There was no indication that he ordered them out, demanded they leave. I don't even know if they called the law enforcement. If they did, in Minnesota, the law enforcement probably did not show up. But I'm concerned if this person, if this perpetrator, if this one that led the thuggery and the terrorism, Don Lemon, if he is set free in some fashion, if he is not prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, which personally I believe is an impossibility in the state of California. But if that is the case, every church in America stands in a position of major, major, serious jeopardy for having worship services in the future. And Terry, one other thing that I'll leave you with before we let you go. I'm looking at headline, Democrats who condemned Don Lemon's arrest are silent on the invasion of a church. I've got a 5-page article listing many, 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 many leaders in the Democratic Party that's all condemning of the system and the law and justice for arresting Don Lemon. They've not said one squeak about the church being invaded. That's what concerns me. That shows you the condition we're in. And by the way, a little footnote to add to what you said, you know what a nationalist is? A nationalist is talking about an individual that stands for his country, for his flag, for his nation. And we're standing for the United States of America. We are a nationalist. We most of the time call it a patriot. So don't allow the term Christian nationalist to be a pejorative as they're trying to make it so that it frightens and intimidates Christians into silence. But Terry,
because
thank you.
We're standing up for our nation and
absolutely
what it stands for, as same thing as a patriot.
Absolutely.
So I know we need to be Christians. We need to be educated and to educate ourselves, not wait for people to educate us, because we need to be, I don't want to say our own government, but we need to be Jesus' soldiers and not wait for, oh, someone's going to do it instead of me and be a coward.
Absolutely.
But pick our battles, not be stand up for foolishness.
Absolutely. And one of the major things, Terry, in closing, is that we need to recognize we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. This is a demonic battle, and what I'm witnessing today through the demon possession, as I would call it, of these socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats, they have no regard for God, no regard for Christ, no regard for the church, no regard for America. In fact, with disdain and hate for the United States of America. I am saddened to say that, but it is a fact in what we see. Terry, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over to question to comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much for taking my call. I am glad you take up this topic today, Christian nationalists, because I have been thinking about it, and I wondered, when did that become something to be ashamed of or derogatory? I kept wondering, what is wrong with being a Christian nationalist? And I thought of it, well, this is a time when our young people are being trained to hate the country, hate the flag, to be not, patriotism is no longer something to be proud of. Yes, to be patriotic, to love your country. So I realized that obviously this Christian nationalism that suddenly become derogatory, that's where it's coming from.
Well, Lily, let me jump in a moment and give you some statistics, too. I'm looking at an article. There's a poll taken on the percentage of those that are extremely proud to be Americans. And the Democrats responded to that only 22%. Listen, 22% of the Democrats say they're proud of America. 76% of Republicans say they're proud to be Americans. 41% of the independents say they're extremely proud to be Americans. That sets the pace. Our listeners and everyone tuned in needs to understand that we're dealing with a demonic delusion in America that's dividing and separating us as nations, as a nation, and they're trying to use the pejorative that you're a Christian nationalist to prevent us from standing for the truth and praising God and standing for the flag and pledging to the flag and being so thankful. We've got a person, Ilhan Omar, that is in the U.S. House of Representatives, and she still condemns America, calls America vulgarities, all kinds of vulgarities, and praises Somalia and the Somalian people and the Somalian government. In fact, she says openly that whatever she does in trying to pass legislation, working as an American U.S. legislator, that she's going to do what's best for Somalia. She is a Somalian nationalist. She is thankful for her country more so than being in America. So that's good illustration of Christian nationalism. I'm a Christian. I'm in America. I'm thankful for America. I stand for our flag. I stand for what America, God has done in giving us the United States of America. Lily, hate to cut you short, but we've got others holding on the line. But thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Woody's on the line. Woody, go over the question or comment, please.
Comment is this: I am a Christian nationalist, and a Christian nationalist, in the simplest terms, is what's good for America is good for the world, and that by God's design. I would like to read just two or three sentences from a book that was published in 2014, but I think this particular item was discussed, was written by the author in 2008, and part of what he was eventually going to publish. I believe it is probably one of the most decisive comments about our current age, but it was made, you know, a decade or so ago. Here's what it is. These are 6 points that the author says that Americans need to understand to repel the demonic attacks like we have right now. Mm-hmm. See if this has anything to do with Mr. Lamone. Point one, spiritually sound, articulate black men will lead America to spiritual and political revival, or black opportunists, cultural elites, and militant feminists will lead us to hell, literally, under the banner of the Democrats. The door is wide open either way. And I think that's been proven to be accurate in the year since that was published. Now, one further comment, and let's get to the other folks that are waiting to talk. you know, we look at the Old Testament sometime a little scornfully if we apply it too directly. And if folks were to go through the list of do-nots and grievous sins listed in Leviticus 16 through 18 and Deuteronomy 16 through 18, one in particular that shall not be mentioned on air, if we were to review those and have someone say, we need to consider these seriously as being the factual basis for what keeps a culture together, even the parts that we really may not like right now, like how we deal with prophets who prophesy falsely, or how other people who do things that are unnatural should be treated. Leviticus 16 through 18, Deuteronomy 16 through 18 have some foundational principles that we ought not overlook. Mm-hmm. That said, and I can't say anything further, but we are beyond the point of talk in our country.
Yes.
We don't need to continue talk. We see how divisive talk is with what demonic agent Lamone is saying right now. Sir, interpret this as you will. I say it carefully. We are now to the point of kinetics. And kinetics, in response to people attacking the most important freedom we have, the freedom of worship, is entirely appropriate. I understand there's a whole theological argument against it, but there's also a theological argument for it, and some of it comes from Leviticus 16 through 18, Deuteronomy 16 through 18. We cannot abide this. Christian men must stand up and, in accordance with the law, must push back against this evil because we are Christian nationalists. What's good for America is good for the world, because America was at one time a righteous nation rooted in principles that would support the welfare of all who live here, including Mr. Lamone, if he wasn't so perverted. End of commentary.
Woody, if you hold just a minute, let me pull your ear a minute. I'm looking at an article, and it's a relationship to what Don Lamond has said. He said, I think God is using unexpected prophets to judge the churches. How a church bearing the name, this is what he says, how a church bearing the name of Jesus promotes the themes of resentment, nativism, Christian nationalism, racism, materialism, militarism. Baptists of all people long schooled in the principle of the First Amendment now act as agents for the empire. That's what is being said, and that's the thing that's gotten Don Lemon and others on the left so excited and upset and trying to persecute and prosecute the churches and Christians, is because they see Christian nationalism in its real sense, and they're trying to use that as a pejorative to condemn. This writer goes on to say their movement is filled with this is what the writer is saying about the mega evangelicals, we're filled with economic angst, racism, religious bigotry, anti-feminism, and hostility toward immigrants, science, hostility toward the media and democracy. They've given birth to a Christian nationalism that is neither Christian nor patriot. That's the mindset of these that are on the left. And, Woody, there's one final thing as an exit question to you. I'm looking at a massive article that says Democrats who condemn Don Lemon's arrest are silent on the invasion of the churches. And it's got a whole list here. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer claimed that the administration arrested a journalist for the crime of doing his job. Bernie Sanders says this is Don Lemon was arrested for covering what ICE is doing. Elizabeth Warren says the arrest is a spine-chilling assault on the freedom of press. Cory Booker said the arrest is a blatant attempt to intimidate people. Dick Durbin says framed the arrest as being a vendetta from Trump. He says, in what the world is acceptable for a journalist to be arrested by the government. The only world that accepted is a world that is trying to move closer and closer to fascism. Senator Ruben Gallo said that Lemon's show, he went on to say that authorities shouldn't arrest journalists for telling the truth. Mark Kelly, I could go on and on. It lists all of the Democrats that are known and what they're saying. Adam Schiff, of course, claimed that the authorities arrested Lemon for covering a protest. And this is the footnote on this. House Democrats backed Don Lemon. House Majority Leader Hakeem Jeffries called Lemon's arrest a disgraceful affront to the First Amendment and a corrupt weaponization of the civil justice system. He said that there is zero basis for the arrest of Don Lemon. But listen, there's not a single Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives or the Senate that said anything negative about what Don Lemon did in the terrorization of a local New Testament church. What does that say to you?
Here's what that says to me. Question, is Don Lemon a false prophet?
Absolutely.
Are Democrats always prone to believe false prophets?
Yes.
What does Leviticus 16 through 18 and Deuteronomy 16 through 18 say about false prophets and what we do to them? Don't answer that on air, but that's my answer to you.
I know the answer. You're exactly right. And I pray that somehow, some way, Christians listening today will recognize it's used as a pejorative to say you're a Christian nationalist. I wear that badge proudly, and I'm thankful to say I'm proud to say and thankful to say I'm a Christian, and I stand for our flag, I stand for our Constitution, I stand for America, and I'm thankful for it. Woody, thank you so much for your call and your footnote on what we've said today. It's a blessing to me personally. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Got just a few moments before the close of the broadcast. Would love to hear from you. Looking at headlines, City's Church isn't being persecuted for righteousness, but for rightness in what we're doing. City Church in Minneapolis is not being persecuted for the faithfulness to the gospel, but for the allegiance to America. Listen, that is a wonderful badge to wear, where this writer is making a major, major statement. The church in Minneapolis is not being persecuted for the faithfulness to the gospel, but for allegiance to America. And I believe that, ladies and gentlemen, we can take that with a badge of honor. And I'm praying that you will say that I'm standing for Jesus Christ. I'm willing to stand for him, whatever come and whatever may. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and to the Greek also. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. And I'm praying today that somehow, some way, if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you will say that and do so today. And then stand for the flag. Stand for America. Stand for what God has blessed us with in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we must serve him and honor him. We must be faithful in serving the Lord Jesus Christ in and through our local New Testament church. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we stand for the gospel, stand for our national heritage, stand for the freedom of speech, stand for our religious liberties, and we must be involved and the local New Testament church, and in civil government. Civil government is not evil, wicked, and dirty, and Christians ought not to be in it. We need to stand for truth and be in and part of the system that the world is today calling the political system. God called it civil government. Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful you tuned in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.